The veil is lifted, removed. The barriers that separate sinful people from a holy God are destroyed. And we are able, not just on Transfiguration Sunday or the eve thereof, as we are moving back and forth, not only then to see Jesus, but to see the face of the living God in the Christ who makes himself known to us in his word and in his holy sacrament. We put a veil on that which is holy and sacred. And when the veil is lifted, well, some people, they're only going to see wafers and a cup of wine. But by faith and by the grace of God, when the veil is lifted, God's people are able to see Jesus, the forgiving and forever love of a Father for his fallen world. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching up. With a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free while God is marching on. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. The veil is lifted, and we are able to see clearly. I want you to think about what our scripture lessons bespeak tonight. I don't know if you caught it, but there is a rhythm in our scripture lessons for tonight on this Feast of Transfiguration. It's an ebb and flow. It's a back and forth. And when you hear the word back and forth, what comes to mind for you? Do you think of someone who's vacillating? Someone who's always changing their mind? Someone who is speaking out of both sides of their mouth? When you think of back and forth, what is it that you see? What is it that you behold, and what is it that you hear? When I think of back and forth, I think of one of my favorite children's books, Love You Forever, where a mother has a newborn baby boy and she cradles him in her arms, and every night she sings the same song. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And he grows up, but she never stops singing that song. She never stops rocking back and forth, her beloved child. And then he becomes a young man, he gets married, has a family of his own. And his mom is aging and failing in her health. We see that until the very end, she keeps taking a ladder and climbing over to her son's house and rocking him at night. And then she can't do it anymore. So he comes and he lifts his mother. And with a slight variation in the song, he sings, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always, as long as I'm living, my mommy, you'll be. And the book ends, the very last page, where this father has his own little newborn infant daughter. And as he continues to rock back and forth, as he remembers the past and the promise of the future, as he looks backward in rewind and forward in anticipation, he sings the same song to his little baby girl. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Back and forth, a rocking motion of forgiveness and forever love. It was in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that St. Paul evidently had made a promise to the Corinthians that he was going to take a missionary trip to Macedonia, and on the way back, he was going to visit them. Apparently, on the way going, he was going to stop and see them, go to Macedonia, and on the way back, see them a second time, but it didn't happen. And people said, "Paul, you say one thing, you do another." And Paul says, "So you think I vacillate? You think I hem and haw? You think I'm wishy-washy? Well, guess what? I didn't say yes and no at the same time. I planned on coming to see you. That was my intention. But you see, life in the kingdom of God is not a democracy where everybody gets a vote. It's a theocracy where God is behind the wheel and in the driver's seat. And God had other plans. And besides, Paul says, it was actually out of love that God changed my plans and my itinerary, because with all the misconduct that was going on in Corinth, I was going to have to come with a rod. And I was going to have to do what no mom or dad enjoys doing. I was going to have to discipline my child. But as long as you're asking about wishy-washy and back and forth, and vacillating, what about God? Does God speak out of both sides of his mouth? Does God say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? Does God keep changing his mind and say, "Hey, I love you, oh, but that was yesterday. You're nothing to me today." Huh? Is that what God is like? And Paul says, of course not. In God, revealed through the incarnate one, his only begotten Son, Jesus, we know what God's first word, last word, and forever word is. In Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ, God's word for you is always yes. God doesn't vacillate. When God goes back and forth, it's because he's rocking us with his forever love and his eternal forgiveness. Back and forth. Back and forth. Did you notice in our gospel reading for tonight that verse 2 and verse 9 are a back and forth, back and forth bracket? A rocking of sorts? Our gospel lesson begins with these words. Now, after 6 days, and right away, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, anyone here tonight, Emily could say, "Wait a minute, Pastor Dave, what does that mean? After 6 days, wait a minute, we better take a step back. What happened 6 days earlier?" I mean, the fact that St. Mark says after 6 days means that he assumes that on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus is at, where Peter and James and John are at, where Elijah and Moses are at, St. Mark assumes that we know what has just happened 6 days before. So we got to go back. But did you see how it ended, verse 9? And as they were coming down, this is after the transfiguration, and Moses is gone, and Elijah is gone, and they have only, I love that word, don't you? Only Jesus. And they're coming down the mountain after the voice of confirmation from the cloud has said, "This is my son, listen to him," right? Jesus speaks. And he says in verse 9, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen and heard until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Oh, wait a minute. Talk about back and forth. You mean there's a promise? You mean there's a future? 3 times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus will do his passion prediction, resurrection announcement. The first time, 6 days before. back and forth. 6 days earlier, in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, it was Jesus who said to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some say Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets, you know, like Moses." And Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter, Rocky. Peter who says, "You're the Christ." And then Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone." And then Jesus proceeds to instruct his disciples as to what it means to be the Christ, the fulfillment of messianic promise. Jesus says, "The Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and be shamefully treated and be disrespected and rejected and killed, and after 3 days, rise from the dead." And he said this plainly. There's no veil, there's no covering, there's no hiding. He removes the veil and says this plainly. And what does Peter do? You remember? 6 days before, we got to go back and forth. Peter says, takes him aside, "No." It says plainly, he rebuked him. Rebuke is not a nice little simple kind word. And Jesus looks at all the disciples, and then it says, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is not on the side of God. Your mind is on the side of Satan." Evidently, there's only two choices. Evidently, there is only two paths. You've either got a mind for Jesus, or if you don't, it's a mind that is in alignment with Satan himself. And then Jesus says to the disciples, "And not only is the road that leads to salvation for Messiah death and resurrection, but anyone who wants to follow, that wants to be a disciple, deny yourself daily. Take up your cross and follow me." And then he talks about saving and losing, remember? Whoever would save their life will lose their life. Whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel will save it. What will it profit if a person gains the whole world and forfeits their soul? Talk about the biggest loser. And we're not talking about a television show. Gain it all for what? He says it plainly, that the path for Messiah and the path for those who follow as disciples is death and resurrection. Dying and rising, back and forth, cradled, rocked in the forgiving and forever loving hands of Jesus. God's word for you on the Feast of Transfiguration, which is always yes, in Christ Jesus. Back and forth. In the bosom of his glory, a transfiguration of you and me. He died to make men holy. Let us live to make men free. Not just physically speaking, but in terms of eternity, in terms of salvation. I read a story the other day. It was a story about Tony Dungy. And maybe you've heard this already, but 6 days beforehand, Jesus said, "Whoever is ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, of that one will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his glory." 6 days before our gospel reading for tonight. And recently, Tony Dungy was asked, to be a sports commentator at the Super Bowl. And so he did. But if you followed the Super Bowl at all this year, you know that the Eagles won. And you know that originally Carson Wentz became injured, so his backup quarterback, Nick Foles, had to step in, and that they upset the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And you also know that the coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson, before he said anything else when they've got this Super Bowl trophy, he testified unashamedly to Jesus. This is the victory we have, right? In Christ Jesus. This is all God. This is the glory of Jesus. And it was Nick Foles who had said, he's been taking seminary classes, and he said, I believe God has called me to be a pastor. When I'm done playing football, football is just an open door from God. It is just simply a platform for me to bring glory to Jesus and to tell people about salvation in the name of Christ. And so you've got Carson Wentz, and you've got Nick Foles, and you've got Ertz. Zach Ertz, he's the tight end that caught that winning touchdown for the Eagles. And here they are, you know, with all the Super Bowl festivities going on, they're in a room by themselves. And Tony Dungy had tweeted and he said, I am so grateful to God that my 11-year-old son Justin got to go in there and see these men of faith taking time out to thank God. They know that they didn't deserve to win this game, that it wasn't their own abilities. And they asked only that God would use it for his glory and to advance his kingdom. And Tony Dungy, that's what he, and then he gets this kind of malicious feedback that says, why don't you just keep your faith and this Jesus stuff out of football? We don't need it in the Super Bowl. Well, Tony Dungy is a man of faith. He was the first black coach to win a Super Bowl. The Indianapolis Colts, 2007. He had a Super Bowl ring when he was a player himself for the Steelers in 1979. He is not ashamed of Jesus Christ. 6 days before the Transfiguration, Jesus is talking about what it means to be the Savior of the world and what it means to follow in his footsteps. And whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus says, in this sinful and adulterous generation, of that one will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his glory. Glory? When's that going to be? Well, in the Transfiguration, you got a chance to see an early glimpse of Easter. You look back and you remember the past, his baptism. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And you look forward and you say, you mean there's something more after Lent? You mean there's something more after the cross? You mean the third day really is true? Yeah, back and forth, back and forth, cradled, rocking in the arms of God's forever love in Christ Jesus. In a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. There was a grandmother who didn't have faith, but she had a deep love for her 4.5-year-old granddaughter. Her 4.5-year-old granddaughter was in the hospital with leukemia in critical condition. She was hooked to tubes, and she had this kind of electronic pump that was circulating her blood. And mom was on a cot in the room, 24/7. And at night, mom was sleeping. And the little 4.5-year-old, she raised her voice and said, Mom, look, there's somebody outside the window. Wake up, Mom, wake up. And mom woke up. And one of the tubes had gotten disconnected from this 4.5-year-old. And blood was squirting everywhere in the crib and on the floor. The mother, in a panic, called for the nurse. The nurse called, what did they call it, Code Blue? And immediately everybody was in there, right? They were immediately in there. And by the grace of God, that little girl's life was saved. Now, This grandmother says, "Who do you tell this to? Who was outside that window?" "It was the fifth floor, for crying out loud, of the hospital. There was no balcony out there." "I know you're thinking some kind of a window washer, maybe suspended." "Yeah." "Who do you tell this to?" No one was interested except for one person, a Catholic priest who was in the hospital. He couldn't talk because he has throat cancer. And so grandma went in and she visited with her 4.5-year-old and said, "So what did you and the priest talk about?" And the little 4.5-year-old said, "Well, grandma, we talked about living and we talked about dying. And we talked about going to heaven and being with Jesus." And before he left, he asked me to pray for him, grandma. That transfiguration moment where the veil was lifted and removed became a moment of faith in the life of that unbelieving grandma who came to faith and went to seminary. Don't you love it? A glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. Back and forth, back and forth. When they're coming down after seeing the glory of Almighty God, Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Easter's coming. Easter is already here. The back and forth, the previous, and the after, it all becomes now in the present, in the presence of Jesus Christ, who lifts the veil of sin so that we can see the face of God and receive the gift of faith and forgiveness. And when they are down in the valley, a father comes and says, "Jesus, I have a son. I asked your disciples to heal him. They couldn't do it. But if you can do anything..." And Jesus looked at him and said, "If I can..." "If I can, all things are possible with God." And he cast out the unclean spirit and he healed that boy. And the disciples, they came to Jesus and they said, "How come we couldn't do it? How come we couldn't do it?" You know what Jesus' one word answer was? Prayer. Prayer. All things are possible with God. The veil is lifted. You cover things that are holy and sacred. You are covered with the righteousness of Jesus. You are the holy ones of God. And he's rocking you back and forth, back and forth. Not because he's vacillating. Not because he's wishy-washy. Not because he's hemming and hawing. But because he loves you. And he sends his only son to the cross for you. And on the third day, back and forth. Romans chapter 6. If you are united with Jesus in a death like his, baptism, you shall also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Back and forth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.